Hello, you Awakening Wonders. They're on Spotify, Apple, Stink Whistle, Gurgle Dot, or wherever you download your podcast these days to remain at least peripherally connected to some tendril of truth in a bewildering miasma of lies and propaganda. We appreciate you and we love you. You're part of our community. So that's why we're very happy to give you an audio version of our live Rumble show 5 days a week. It's on Monday to Friday. We decipher the latest news stories. We break down current topics that the mainstream media should be covering. And if they aren't, then we critique why they're not and what they are covering. Every week as well, right? We do brilliant conversations with people like Jordan Peterson, RFK, Tucker Carlson, Sam Harris, Vandana Shiva, Gabor Mate. These things are already up and you can listen to them now. So remember, this is an audio version of our daily live show. To tune in live, go to rumble.com/Russell Brand. You'll find it easily and I hope that you will love it. Now please enjoy this episode of Stay Free with Russell Brand. Thanks.
No, here's the fucking news.
Hello there, you Awakening Wonders. Thanks for joining me today for Stay Free with Russell Brand. We've got an extraordinary amount to discuss. After all, we have nothing short of a global revolution to organise where we're taking on some of the most powerful forces ever assembled, whether you're talking about military might, the ability to surveil, the ability to censor, the cultural power to turn people against one another and trap us on low-frequency discourse where we're trapped in mindless objectivity regardless guarding one another solely materially, unable to sense the pervasive divinity accessible to all of us now. Ah, the glory, the glory. T-Funk asked in the Rumble chat, hey, is that your kid's hat? This is my hat, baby. And what a hat it is, and what a day it is to be free. If you're not an Awakened Wonder yet, consider becoming one. You get access to all sorts of content. Why, look at the menu now. Every single week we do an exclusive video. Every single week we provide you with the opportunity to meditate as part of a community and pray significantly too. That's the agenda. Excuse me, that's the schedule. The agenda is nothing short of an individual awakening on a global level, allowing us all to unify in a decentralized movement like a mighty wave sweeping away the corruption and bringing a new kingdom down to earth. Well, this is not a small hat. Can everyone stop saying the hat is too small? That is not canker me now. This is a normal size hat. You better believe it. When you cut after the first video clip, I'm not going to be wearing this hat. I'll tell you that. If you're watching us on YouTube, you should know that YouTube is part of Google. Google is part of Alphabet. Serge Brin and Larry Page, when they were at Stanford University, had their PhD funded by a CIA cutout. How do we know that? We ask the right questions to the right people. Why will you be told that's not true? Why will people equivocate and prevaricate? Because they work for the system. Because they're invested in the system. Because they love their comfort. They love the walls of their prison, but some of us are determined to break free, and I welcome you aboard this movement. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you believe, you are welcome here. You're welcome in that Rumble chat, and you better believe in these contentious times, you'll find people in there that believe very strongly in different sides of, for example, regional disputes. You might find some interesting stuff. Stop talking about the hat. Only Jedi Girl is giving the hat any love at all. We've got all sorts to talk about. After all, it's you that decides what we talk about and when we talk about it. Canadian thought crime seems to be a priority based on, we post this survey on the various social media sites upon which we flourish. We're there on Elon Musk's X. We're there on Instagram that sends some political stories. We're there on Facebook, which is, let's face it, it's a mom's platform now, isn't it? We're there wherever you might find. But we're on TikTok, but not for long in Joe Biden's censored America. And we asked you, what do you want to discuss? Lindsey Graham's nuke Gaza, Kamala Harris's F-bomb, Melinda Gates quiz, and you can see the results there. So we're going to be focusing on Canada's thought crime bill, where they can go back in the past and find stuff you said ages ago, and that could be a crime. They can project into the future things that you might do or say or think, and that could be a crime. And of course, what's it for? Say in unison now, let us become Trudeau's choir. It's to protect the children. It's to protect the children when we're throwing clergymen in jail. It's to protect the children when we're shutting down the bank accounts of people that have sent a few dollars to a trucker protest. It's for the children when we're accusing ordinary working Canadians of being Nazis. It's all for the children. Pile 99. That's about a 1 gallon hat. Stop talking at Negligent Banana. Effing love the hat. Oinker Space. You guys, do you awaken wonders over there? Do you love it? Some people are curious about why Melinda Gates left the foundation. Why would Melinda Gates leave a perfectly good foundation? Later this week, we have a brilliant conversation with Dave Martin. You know Dave Martin, right? He's the guy with the dicky bow and the mighty heart who will explain to you exactly how the WHO was set up and the curious legislation that was there. You know Bobby Kennedy's coming on the show later this week, and you will love our conversion story this Thursday when I'll be talking to my friend Michael Emmett, gangster, formerly Christian now. We got so much fantastic content. Odysseus, Russell needs a hat stretcher. I do not need... This hat is the right size. Huckfed says Trudeau's a goof. You know his brother went on Tucker recently. That's... He's a big supporter of Bobby Kennedy. And, I know that the Trudeau family interests you guys. I know that. I know the kind of stuff you talk about. Now, Melinda Gates has left the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, meaning that now it has to own up and admit what it is. It's the Bill Gates Foundation. And what's the foundation of Bill Gates? Some would say corruption. Some would say it's globalization. Some would say it's investing in COVID vaccines, then investing in the WHO saying that everyone should get vaccinated. Some would say it's acquiring farmland. Some would say it's hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, boogieing on down, swinging with Jeffrey Epstein. And how did he end up swinging? Answers in the chat. He ended up swinging from a beam because he had a little too much information about the real scandals that go on inside the institutions. Because remember, when they're passing these hate speech laws, it's to protect the children. Well, I'm starting to sense that there's one area in particular where children might be vulnerable, and it's in the elite establishment. That's a story we'll be covering later. Let's have a look at Melinda Gates. This is a bad news day for philanthropy, because Melinda Gates has left the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. No, please. How will we launder our taxes? How will we claim we're helping people? Oh, no.
Melinda Gates is resigning as co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Her last day scheduled for June 7th. In a statement, she said...
last day. Right, we've got to June 7th. No one panics. Let's just get all the philanthropy done we can between now and June 7th. It's so important. This is our chance to help people. We've only got a few more days of Melinda.
As it is time for her to move on to the next chapter of her philanthropy. Of course, she had co-founded the world's largest charitable foundation.
The world's largest charitable foundation. Let's learn how philanthropy works. Let's learn how that charity works. Let's work out what favorable relationships that foundation has. You'll love our conversation with Dave Martin when he tells you what philanthropy is so frequently available for.
With her then husband, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, the couple had pledged publicly to give away at least half their wealth. They announced...
They haven't done that yet. They still haven't done it. They haven't got around to it. They pledged to give away half their wealth. Turns out they've stopped. They've still got... People still having a go at my hat. One person donated $5 to say he does quite like the hat. Thank you. I appreciate the $5 and I appreciate the compliment. They still haven't got round to... The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation still just haven't quite got round to giving it away that way. It's very much like Robin Hood if he'd robbed the rich and then said, one of these days, the poor are going to get a real boon, but I just got to go to work on this arrow and just got to fire this. That's not an arrow you're firing, Robin. That's a syringe. What's in that thing? That better not be gene therapy. Don't worry about it. We've clinically trialed it. Where? Are the kids okay that you clinically trialed it on? Mind your own business. I'm a philanthropist as well as a merry man.
Their divorce in 2021, but they have continued to work together on the foundation. Bill Gates today also released a statement thanking Melinda for her critical contributions to the foundation and wrote, I'm sorry to see Melinda leave, but I'm sure she will have a huge impact.
Kenzie67 has donated $2 to say that my hat looks like a pea on a mountain. Do you like hurting people? Do you? You like it? Think it's fun to hurt people about their hats, do you?
Impact in her future philanthropic work. He goes on to say that he's confident in the current leadership team of the Gates Foundation and its mission. But again, the news, Melinda Gates will be stepping away from the...
Conf- confident in the current leadership team and its mission. What is the mission of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Well, I suppose if you wanted to know what their mission is, you'd have to look at where they invest their money. Do they invest money in training journalists? Do they invest money in patenting seeds? Do they invest money in vaccine technologies? Do they invest money in the WHO? These are all legitimate questions, and I don't know the answer to all of them. I'm certainly not making any allegations against a man that can afford those kind of lawyers, a man who can have friends like Jeffrey Epstein and still come up smelling of, I don't know, paperclips. Roses doesn't seem like the right thing, does it? Anyway, let's just remind ourselves for a moment why it was that Bill and Melinda got divorced in the first place. Why was that? Why was it?
I did not like that he'd had meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, no.
Why not? What's wrong with Jeffrey? He's all right. He's not a bad guy. He gets stuff done. He's an organizer. He's a mixer. He's a fixer. He's a one-man Tinder.
And you made that clear to him?
I made that clear to him. I wanted to see who this man was. And I regretted it from the second I stepped in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. I had nightmares about it afterwards. Any of the questions remaining about what Bill's relationship there was, those are for Bill to answer.
Okay.
But come on in, Bill, let's answer those questions. Seeing as you like talking so much, let's do it, baby. Let's get some answers to some pretty important questions. I wonder when those questions will be answered.
I made it very clear how I felt about him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, there's a lot more to talk about than the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the astonishing power that they seem to be able to assert without ever having quite got round to distributing that incredible fortune that was amassed, that if you were to investigate it and look at some of the contracts that Microsoft had with the government, it might follow patterns that other big tech organisations have with governments, naming no names, but it seems like there's some sort of back-channel communication going on between social media outlets and deep state occupants of peculiar roles within those institutions. I ain't one to cast aspersions, but I like to give you different versions of what they dare to call reality. And I'm starting to think people are actually quite like the hat now. Dan, come on in here. Let's do the trailer. Hey, Donald Trump, man, he's like this hat is, I would say, the most popular hat in the world after perhaps the MAGA hat. The MAGA hat is making an incredible comeback. Donald Trump is giving some incredible speeches. Have you seen him? Where is he going with this praising Hannibal Lecter thing? This is extraordinary. I'm just trying to understand, what's his point with praising Hannibal? Because he must know Hannibal Lecter's not real. He does know that. But then what is it he likes about? Is it just that he's seen Silence of the Lambs on the telly? This is amazing. Get over here and watch us. Check out this.
Silence of the Lambs. Has anyone ever seen a Silence of the Lambs? The late, great Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man. He oftentimes would have a friend for dinner.
That's literally the joke that the film ends on. Now, I believe that the reason that the establishment is terrified of having Trump in office is because Biden's like a living, barely living marionette. He's a kind of vacant vessel that you can pump any information into, and he will literally do the bidding of the globalist establishment. Donald Trump, he ain't playing that game. Come over, you lot. Join us. That's just for some of the people out there in social media that aren't a part of this movement yet. Because someone that just starts talking about a film that they've recently seen cannot be controlled. Let's have a look. Where is he going with this? He doesn't actually make a point.
Remember the last scene? Excuse me, I'm about to have a friend for dinner as this poor doctor walked by. I'm about to have a friend for dinner, but Hannibal Lecter, congratulations, the late, great Hannibal Lecter. We have people that are being released into our country that we don't want in our country.
So I suppose, is he saying that because of a lack of border controls, people are getting into America that are worse than Hannibal Lecter? That's sort of what I reckon it is. But, like, I'll tell you what, Morning Joe and all them, you know, Morning Joe, the legacy media, the kind of snooty, haughty, supercilious, talking down to you, loathing ordinary people, trying to normalize it, trying to justify, well, their own existence, perhaps above all else, but condemning you for being you continually. They don't like ordinary people. They don't like Donald Trump. They don't like the idea that you might be able to bypass the legacy media information brokers. They don't like the idea that you might rise up. They don't like the idea that you might find a source of power within yourself that means you don't need them, you don't need the products that they purvey, convey, endlessly peddle all day on their MSNBC shop floor racket that where they maybe earn an incredible packet. They don't want you doing that stuff. What they want to do is conflate and inflate this, like, you know, like sort of somewhat innocuous joke with, I don't know, what are they trying to say over on Morning Joe? They're trying to sort of suggest it's something extraordinary.
Donald Trump, over the weekend in New Jersey, praising, in New Jersey, of all places, praising a fictional serial killer.
This is good.
We spoke to some of the fictional victims' families, and a lot of the fictional victims' families were very, very offended. We spoke to a charity that represents fictional victims of fictional crimes. We think it is very inappropriate that Donald Trump joked and laughed about Hannibal Lecter, who did that thing where he went fava beans and all that stuff. That is out of control. We cannot support that. Hold on a minute. Isn't all this stuff just out of somebody's imagination? Never mind all of that.
Exactly, Mika. This is why the Biden campaign desperately wants to see more bizarre moments like this during Trump's rallies. Like, I promise you, they are more upset that Donald Trump is in trial right now than Donald Trump, because they know when he goes out on the road, people say, the guy's just not there. He is celebrating a fictional character there who, one of the most grotesque.
Plus, Micah's phone has a bell that goes off every time they start taking reality a little too seriously and lose their connection to the divine. Perhaps one of the things that would be more responsible for them to analyze would be that Joe Biden's handlers have publicly stated that he's going to be giving a lot less speeches, and when he does give them, they'll be a lot shorter, because it's just a lot more punchy and a lot more succinct. Brevity is the soul of wit, and propaganda is the soul of bullshit. And what they're trying to tell us is that it's a good thing that Joe Biden seldom appears on camera, because he's plainly, it seems, at least to me, a vassal for different sources of power. Any of you that saw our Mike Benz interview will know that even Hunter Biden's Burisma job has deep state connections. You've got to watch that conversation, and you've got to watch our conversation later this week with our man Dave Martin, which is similarly revelatory.
Horrifying people of in movie history.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, well, that's all very interesting. Now, Kamala Harris is a woman that has a way with words, and it seems like she's just found a new favorite. Get ready for some pretty powerful rhetoric. You may have, over the years, enjoyed the great oratory of, say, I don't know, James Baldwin, some of the great speakers and thinkers that have emerged from your incredible nation. Just get ready, wrap your head around this. It's pretty inspiring. It's pretty inspiring.
We have to know that sometimes people will open the door for you and leave it open. Sometimes they won't. And then you need to kick that fucking door down.
Unless there is a lockdown, in which case, just sit behind that door very quietly, put your hands deep in your pockets, put your mask on, sanitize your hands, sanitize the door, sanitize everything. Don't ask any questions. But once in a word, I don't mind saying the F word once in a while. I'm not so keen to discuss the G word, which is what appears to be happening as a result of some of our policies. I'm not so willing to discuss the MIC words. That's the military industrial complex. But what I will do is use an expletive to act like this is genuine political rhetoric in front of a very friendly crowd. Look at the darling fella that's conducting this softball piece of puff propaganda, greeting this as if he's talking to someone making a genuine contribution to complex debates, rather than just more dirge and bilge spilled into the wasteland of contemporary consciousness.
Excuse my language.
What about when Tim Dillon said that everything she says sounds like a gypsy curse? Nailed it.
We're gonna make t-shirts with that saying, kick the fucking door down.
But don't make them in sweatshops, though, because that's exploitative. Make sure those T-shirts are made somewhere ethical, because, you know, we've all got so many principles. Now, Lindsey Graham seems like a person who wouldn't do very well in an actual war. Thank you. $10. I fucking love that hat. We're finally winning the hat wars. If you're watching us on YouTube, actually, we're gonna leave now. You're gonna have to click the link in the description. We're talking about Canada. They're doing literal minority reports there. I don't know where Trudeau gets his dictatorial tendencies from. I don't know if there's something in his genes, baby. I really don't. But that guy is passing some pretty crazy and restrictive laws where they'll be able to reach back into your past like some extraordinary Nostradamus, although he did look into the future. In any event, they're creating systems of condemnation, criminalizing entire populations over there in Canada. If you believe in freedom, stay with us. Click the link in the description. Get on over here. Now, let's have a look at Lindsey Graham, a man who I don't think would do very well in a fight of any description, inviting... I mean, I think he's... I don't know. Let me say, like, maybe I'm missing some subtlety in the language. Maybe there is some poetry to Lindsey Graham that I'm missing, but it does sound like he might be saying that Gaza should have a nuclear missile exploded on it.
So when we were faced with destruction as a nation after Pearl Harbor, fighting the Germans and the Japanese, we decided to end the war by bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons.
What do you think Lindsey Graham masturbates about? Like, from the look of him. I don't think it's very nice, do you? Because he seems to be getting off here, for example, on the very idea of evoking a nuclear apocalypse that would decimate first the lives of the people of Gaza, but then the region more broadly, and given the fact that Tehran have nuclear weapons, would likely lead to the destruction of the entire planet. Is that what turns you on, Lindsay?
That was the right decision. Israel the...
I mean, is it like a Boy Named Sue thing? Is it that? Is it like a Johnny Cash thing? Like if you call your son Lindsay, Lindsay's a bit of a feminine name, but I'll tell you what's not feminine, killing kids. Nothing feminine about that. Nothing feminine about bringing about Armageddon. Nothing feminine about my gray, dead eyes. Nothing feminine about me staring at a screen now, plucking away at my old banjo hamstring, plucking away at this dumb old piece of gammon between my thighs, lost there between the pudgy mound and my groin. Nothing feminine about that. Nothing feminine about that at all.
The bombs they need to end the war they can't afford to lose. Can I say this? Why is it okay for America to not to drop two nuclear bombs?
Lindsay, that wasn't all right. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, we don't all look back and say, here's a thing that was all right. It's called Nagasaki and Hiroshima. That was a grave global error. It was unnecessary. There's evidence that it was unnecessary. I think even at the time that, what was it called, Enola Gray and Little Boy, as those missiles descended from the sky to devastate those two cities, I think there was a sense then, look, we've made this now and we're going to have to use it. I'm just too curious. I just got to know what it's like. I don't think wrong. It was not necessary. We've got evidence that it was not necessary. You can't, once you start legitimizing the apocalypse, I figure it's over for our kind.
On Hiroshima and Nagasaki to end their existential threat war. Why was it okay for us to do that? I thought it was okay.
With the tapping of the pen, I think we got a further insight into our discussion. Why was it okay before? Why was it? Why?
To Israel, do whatever you have to do to survive as a Jewish state.
Senator, again, military officials say technology has changed.
Jolly good. Let's have a look, though. Tehran have got nuclear bombs. Let's see what Bobby says. Bobby Kennedy here says both should make strong condemnatory statements of that. And here's some evidence that it was not strictly necessary. Look at this. Japan would have surrendered even if the atomic bombs had not been dropped. That's his, statements from leadership that are still alive that, you know, have the inside scoop on that. And if you're curious about other propaganda, about other wars, because, hey, there's a lot of it about, seems that Russia are doing incredibly well in that war that they're having with Ukraine that you're paying for. There's a new border offensive. They're getting all sorts of territory. Here's Greenwald on that. The only purpose, he says, Russia's advancing deeper. It's long been obvious Ukraine can't win. The only purpose of US financing, sending unwilling Ukrainian conscripts to their death. Perhaps he's referring there to the fact that many conscripts are having their bank accounts frozen using new DIA technology, DIIA technology, that you are also paying for, by the way, given that people don't want to fight in that war, and we're talking about Ukrainians, it's kind of looking unpopular. It's enriching, says Greenwald, US arms dealers, and enabling Michael McFalls and David Frums to feel tough and purposeful. And I'm imagining Lindsey Graham's feeling tough, purposeful, and possibly replete with a newly glazed belly. The New York Times, he's responding to there, but, you know, and I imagine this, sort of, I'm not even going to read it because I've given enough time to their propaganda over the years. Here's a fella, Dominic Cummings. He was a propagandist in our country for a previous incarnation of the sort of current administration in our country, but he's a sort of a populist figure, and he's got some interesting observations on the subject of Zelensky. This is not a replay of 1940, he says, with Zelensky as the Churchillian underdog. We're getting fucked right now. That dude has got a way with words. Now, our main story, the winner of our poll, the story you wanted to see us report on, is that Canada have found yet another way to censor you. Just when you think Trudeau can't get any more Orwellian, he finds a new way to censor the future, to use the past to criminalize you, to make the mind of Philip K. Dick seem not like sci-fi dystopic future visions, just a blueprint for a better Canada. What is Trudeau trying to prove over there? And what is he trying to control? Let's have a look at how the legacy media report on this story in Canada before we break down how these hate laws and apparent child protection laws will actually be used. First of all, we'll start with some propaganda from the Canadian state. Here we go.
The Liberal government has taken a second go at tackling harmful online content. The new legislation tabled just this afternoon seeks to better protect both children and adults on the internet. It proposes establishing a digital safety commission.
To protect children and adults on the internet. You're an adult or you're a child. You could be either. You're on the internet. You are at risk. You could see a word like fuck, for example. God knows what that would do to you. And, I mean, as a child, Lord alone knows. Is it not beginning to become clear that what they do is reverse engineer the circumstances under which anyone would become compliant to further authoritarianism? An example being, well, free speech, that's a principle that we all believe in. Yeah, but you don't agree with free speech, do you, if it was about abusing children and exploiting children or hateful racist rhetoric? I suppose no, I don't. Good. That means then that we will have to look at all information everywhere all of the time and control whatever information we want to control and censor whatever we want to censor.
A five-person panel tasked with enforcing new rules around harmful content.
Five-person panel. Who's this panel? How's it going to be funded? What are their intentions? How will it be deployed?
As well as a new digital safety ombudsperson.
I am the new digital safety ombudsperson. We're like Oompa Loompas in a way. We come from a crazy far-off land and we like to censor you. Ba-doop-ba-doop-a-dee-doo.
Bill also seeks to amend the criminal code to crack down harder on hate crimes.
We gotta crack down on the hate crimes, baby. Let's see what Elon Musk is saying. Remember that it's important that platforms like this one, Rumble, under the stewardship of Chris Pavlovsky, and X under Musk, are willing to take a stand against this increasing censorship, against demands for surveillance, which will become increasingly risky. He says, this sounds insane, if accurate, in response to Camus. The Trudeau regime has introduced an Orwellian new law called the Online Harms Bill, C-63, which will give police the power to retroactively search the internet for hate speech violations and arrest offenders, even if the offence occurred before the law existed. That is pretty astonishing. Let's get into the details of this bill as relayed through a British media organisation. The C-63 legislation authorises house arrest and electronic tagging for a person considered likely to commit a future crime. When you see our conversation with Dave Martin, he talks about how the pandemic was an opportunity to legitimise and normalise the house arrest of your opponents and dissidents. Note how often dissenters are smeared. Notice how often dissidents are shut down. Notice the increasing encroachment of state authority and the normalization of incarceration outside of penal institutions. We're going to have to lock you in your homes because it's too hot, too cold, too much cough, danger cough, too much trucker. We saw a Houthi. I saw a Houthi. He was about yay high. That son of a bitch, get in your homes, a Houthi. When you were a boy on Facebook, you said the fuck word. You better get in your house, you fuck wording son of a bitch, you. You're no better than a trucker. I'll freeze your bank account so hard. I'll tag your anklet so good. I will Trudeau you till you wish you was in Cuba, baby. If a judge believes there are reasonable grounds to fear a future hate crime, look at how vague their language is. Reasonable grounds to fear a future hate crime. Do you ever experience fear? I'm going to level you. I experience fear because I've now, as a result of some of the work we do actually, experienced the astonishing and devastating power of the state, in particular when they work with corporations, in particular when they work with NGOs and peculiar, shady online surveillance firms, often funded by the government and Big Pharma, that observe your online content, that compile your data, that find ways to shadow ban you using AI. I know fear. Fear. Reasonable grounds to fear a future hate crime is not a basis for legislation. This is the legitimization of further centralized authority. Whether you are a conservative, a libertarian, a person of the right, a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, an atheist, a transsexual, bisexual, non-binary person, I can't tell you how irrelevant all of that stuff is. What is relevant is there is an extraordinary force accruing that I believe to be, I don't like to even describe it in rational terms, although you can understand it in rational terms, legitimizing further authority at every single opportunity, always with the claim that they are protecting you. Protecting us from what? You need protection from them more than anything else in this world. Is that becoming clear to you? Now, let me know in the chat if you fear anything more than these apparently liberal, extremely suave, lovely hair, lovely little face when they get the boot polish off it, politicians like Trudeau that claim to be protecting you, but seem to be protecting you by putting an ankle bracelet on you and shutting you in your house. The as-yet innocent party can be sentenced to house arrest, complete with electronic tagging, mandatory drug testing and communication bans. Failure to cooperate nets you an additional year in jail. Do you see? They're creating pathways for condemnation, pathways for criminalization. Do you see how organizations, often government funded, that were deployed to fight the war against terror, to fight insurgents in Iraq, because that war went so bloody well, turning the Middle East into what I heard one pundit call the Harvard of terrorism, organizations that had to be set up to countenance that terror are now domestically deployed. You don't need me to tell you that. Edward Snowden told you that. You don't need me to tell you that. Julian Assange told you that. And that's why to this day, they're celebrated as great heroes of Australia and of America. And that's why when is it Edward Snowden Day? Is that in a couple of days now? Oh no, he's in exile in Russia and Julian Assange is still in prison without trial, awaiting extradition to America, where they've just about, fingers crossed, no comeback, said they won't execute the guy under an espionage law that's been used more by Barack Obama than anybody else, and successive presidents, whichever one you choose, that president didn't choose to pardon Julian Assange. What is a hate crime? Yeah, what is a hate crime, though? Whatever a bloody Justin Trudeau says it is. According to the bill, it's a communication expressing detestation or vilification. But clarified the government, this is not the same as disdain or dislike or speech that discredits, humiliates, hurts or offends. Unfortunately, the government didn't think to include a graduated scheme setting out the relative acceptability of the words offend, hurt, humiliate, discredit, dislike, disdain, detest and vilify. Who wants a government creating some spectra of offensiveness, getting into etymology and semiotics and semantics, areas that I don't think they're qualified to be dabbling in, when every single law they pass is just a further legitimization of authority? If they can make you a criminal somehow, metastasizing the past, making claims about the future, then they will do it. Remember when we were saying, oh, but what is a terrorist though? Oh, I don't know, check their hat, check their skin color. Well, now you're a terrorist. They don't call it a terrorist anymore. You're a future hate criminal. And if wearing a tiny hat ever becomes a crime, I'm in a serious, serious amount of trouble. Unfortunately, the government didn't think to, I told you that. Under Bill C-63, you can be put away for life for a crime whose legal existence hangs on the distinction between dislike and detest.
Now, I just want to say that that was more like a detesting than a disliking, so I'm afraid that's going to have to be good old life imprisonment for you. These are decisions getting made by, what's her name, Chrystia Freeland and Justin Trudeau and people that you can't trust to run kindergartens, let alone countries. People that you can't trust to participate in piano side songs without making you want to vomit. You can't let these people run countries. When did that happen? Can't you tell by looking at them? Can't you feel it? When did we forget to understand, to discern, to determine heroes from villains? When did we start to allow these weak fools, these lunatics, these nomarchs, these nearly people to be in positions of power over us? When did it happen? The legislation appears to apply retroactively, meaning you can be, look at this, I'd be in prison. Meaning you can be hauled up before the Human Rights Tribunal for any material you've left online, regardless of its posting date. Anonymous accusations and secret testimony are permitted. That's the kind of thing that they need. Anonymous accusations, secret testimony. This is how justice works now. The judiciary is a tool of authority. The media is a tool of the authority. When these two things come together, watch as surely as if it were two of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, because power is on the move. They are aware of the power that's accruing around open communication. They're aware of the power that accrues as taxonomies and categories melt away, as we no longer think in terms of left or right. As we individually and communally, spiritually awaken, they have to prepare a counter-offensive. And their counteroffensive will be much stronger than any of the Ukrainian counteroffensives that you are funding against the nuclear superpower, Russia, that we're supposed to imagine will one day just go, okay, we give up, or we give up. This Zelensky, he reminds me of Churchill, who was an ally of Russia, incidentally, during that war against evil, who, by the way, the Nazis literally get applauded in the Canadian Parliament. You saw that story, right? Don't forget. Use your eyes. Trust yourself. As the great American comedian Bill Hicks said, you are right. You are right. Not those people who are trying to tell you how to think. You're right. Don't forget. Stay awake. Secret testimony permitted at the tribunal's discretion. Oh, thank God it's at the tribunal's discretion. Complaints are free to file, and an accuser, if successful, can hope to reap up to a $20,000 payout. They're rewarding people for anonymous accusations. This is amazing. With up to another $50,000 going to the government. It's a win-win situation. You take $20,000, we'll take $50,000, we'll freeze their bank accounts, and they're all going to prison. What does all this have to do with protecting children online? Yeah, difficult to see that, isn't it? And if there is one community, one social class, one group who seem to have a peculiar predication when it comes towards predation of children, it's these people, no? I mean, seems to be pretty high up on their list based on some of the information that we're acquiring. All the social media companies are going to be supervised by a brand new government body called the Digital Safety Commission. Just that perfect line between so fucking boring you can barely hold it in your head, so vague it could do almost anything. The Digital Safety Commission can, without oversight, require companies to block access to any content, conduct investigations, hold secret hearings. Hitler would have loved this. I'm not saying that Canada's like Hitler. I haven't got time to remind you of the Nazis that they saluted, or the fact that Chrystia Freeland, who's the fucking Home Secretary's grandfather, was literally in the Nazi party, or that bloody Justin Trudeau said, oh, I like the way China does things. I don't got time to remind you of any of that. I just want to say the idea that they can have conduct investigations and hold secret hearings, that's power. That is power. Where did power go? When did, like, big tech become so powerful? It's extraordinary. This is where power is now.
They require the company require companies to hand over specific content and give all data collected to third-party researchers accredited by the commission. All data, any content, no oversight. Extraordinary. We have some familiarity, next page, please, thank you very much, with some of these organisations. We've been observing them. We've been studying them. They're extraordinary. The ostensible purpose of putting the commission and not ordinary police in charge is so that it can act informally and quickly. Informally. Hi. Listen, I know I'm not your real dad. Just want to have a bit of a chat about stuff you've been posting online ever since you was born. Now, this is not a formal process. Look at that. I've got my sleeves rolled up. I'm a bit like a pal, really. You can trust me, can't you? You're under arrest and I don't need a warrant. Quickly, without a warrant, in situations where material victimising a child could spread quickly across the internet. What that means, in effect, is that the Digital Safety Commission is not accountable and does not have to justify its actions. Convenient. As the Canadian Civil Liberties Association says in its sharply worded critique of the bill, it endows government appointees with vast authority to interpret the law, make up new rules, enforce them, and then serve as judge, jury, and executioner. You don't think that they would ever... You don't imagine that maybe they wouldn't... You think that, oh, God, no, they would never misuse that, would they? Yeah, I think maybe they would. Canada already has a law that criminalises conspiracy, right? You've got that law, so you don't need that. And another law criminalising threats. So we're not talking about someone who is planning murder or terrorism. Then is paedophilia illegal in Canada? Have you not got laws for that? You would assume that that's also something that there's legislation for. Then who are we talking about? People who read the wrong websites? People who didn't get vaccinated? People who criticise the government? Let me know which of these categories you fall into. It's Canada, baby. People who go to church and believe certain types of immorality will send you to hell. With the Online Harms Bill, as with the reckless invocation of the Emergencies Act and the debanking of protesters, they are making a mockery of the rule of law and the public order they are sworn to uphold. Absolutely staggering. Let's have a look at the glorious near pop star. That swaggering, suave beefcake of a man, the Prime Minister of Canada, but so much more, Justin Trudeau, everybody. Let's have a look at him.
Meta, Facebook, has made the decision.
This is great, because what he's doing here is claiming to support journalists, but it's really weird. The way that he supports journalists gives them further power to censor. It's weird how this keeps happening.
That they shouldn't have to compensate hardworking journalists telling local news stories.
In the background, we've gathered together some mostly bald, hardworking journalists. Look at these poor bastards. That one over there has worked so hard buttoning up all those buttons, and he's not even getting rewarded by Meta. Well, we got to do something about it.
It is a decision by Meta that makes billions of dollars of profit all around the world, that they have no accountability to journalists that actually tell local stories.
You know, don't you want to hear some local stories? Yeah, I would like to hear some stories. I'd like to hear why you are legitimizing reaching back into the past, imagining the future like some giddy soothsayer, and using these extraordinary powers to potentially lock up, imprison, and impede political opponents or even free speech itself.
Work hard to actually make sure people are properly informed?
I don't think you want people properly informed, Justin. Otherwise, they may become quite non-compliant.
And instead, make money off of sharing of information without recognizing the role they must play in a strong, independent media that is...
For a moment, this globalist lunatic believes in a strong, independent media, the very kind of media that will report on the kind of corruption that's been occurring in Canada, whether it's his evocation of the Emergency Act, whether it's the extraordinary appearance of a Nazi in Parliament. I just can't let go of that one. The imprisoning of clergy people, the shutting down of protest, the freezing of bank accounts, and now a bill that claims that it's there to protect the children. It's always to protect the children, but would obviously legitimize the opposition to and ultimately censorship and shutting down of all political opposition, and all done with such a wonderful haircut. Just focus on their haircut. That's why he always likes to have a backing band made up of bald people.
Enhancing our democracies. This is a test moment where countries are going to have to...
It's a test moment, and countries are going to have to. It is a test moment. We are being tested. Do you feel like you're being tested? Are you starting to work out what the game is yet? I'm feeling tested, Justin.
Realize that either we stand up for journalism and the profession, faced with internet giants that refuse to actually participate in it, or we bow down to them and allow them to make billions.
Oh, they're going to make billions. We can't bow down to them. So who do you believe in? Justin Trudeau? Does Justin Trudeau seem true, though, to you, though? Or does Justin Trudeau seem like some sort of slick, immaculate, well-oiled, unctuous little blimp that operates on behalf of a globalist establishment, a WEF stooge who fawns over Zelensky and his khakis and would censor you to within an inch of your life? Any of these utterances that are streaming past in the chat or are underneath us right now, Trudeau will be all over that. You guys are getting braceleted right up the ankle if Trudeau has his way. Your free speech is their terrorism. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the chat. We can't continue to bring you this content without the support of our sponsors. Here is a message from one of our sponsors right now. Have a listen. We can't continue to bring you this awakening and hopefully enjoyable content without the support of our partners. That's why I've got to ask you, and I'm glad to ask you, are you struggling with back taxes or unfiled returns? The IRS is escalating collections, adding, get this, 20,000 new agents and sending over 5 million collection letters to kick off 2024 to spend on things that you probably don't agree with, like wars and measures and a total lack of infrastructure. In these challenging times, your best defense is Tax Network USA. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. With over 14 years of experience, Tax Network USA have saved their clients over $1 billion in back taxes. No matter the size of your tax issue, their expertise is your advantage. They specialize in negotiating with the IRS, aiming to significantly reduce your debt. Tax Network USA doesn't just negotiate, they also protect your assets from IRS seizures and manage your yearly returns for ongoing compliance. Importantly, they are licensed to help you with all state tax issues, regardless of where you live in the United States. The clock is ticking. Don't wait as the IRS steps up its game. Seize control of your financial future now. Contact Tax Network USA for immediate relief and expert guidance. Call 1-800-245-6000 or visit taxnetworkusa.com/brand. Don't let tax issues overpower you. Turn to Tax Network USA and find your path to financial peace of mind. Right, let's get back to this content. Stop saying that my hat is too small. It's the right size. It's a good hat. Leave. What have you got? Is this what you want? This hat? Or this hat? These hats that are available now for you? Part of our merch that we use to help people get into recovery? I don't know. We're trying to help, mostly with small hats. Someone said, like, Russell should wear a slightly smaller hat every day and see how long it takes for the hat to sort of, you know, I don't know, so turn into a thimble or whatever. You're out of control, all of you. One of the reasons that I find this ever encroaching globalism so disappointing, this slow and insidious march to centralized authoritarianism, is it's possible to live in a different world. It needn't be like this. There are simple alternatives that are not that radical. Things like, I don't know, representative democracy. I don't know, things like people being able to run their own communities and run their own lives and family and support. There is a solution. There is a way out of this. Here's Joe Rogan. Here's Joe Rogan talking about the kind of solution I think many of us believe in. And I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons it caught my eye is because, well, I'm in it. Here it is.
If you want to maintain that, the number one thing you have to prevent is a broad alliance and a willingness of people to accept their differences. As long as you've got people willing to kill each other, whether it's online or in person, over cultural values, yes, rather than accept, I'm willing to accept that that's how you live, as long as you accept that's how I live.
Exactly.
Then it's over.
As long as you can keep people at each other's throats, then you can continue to manipulate them. Then it's an easy chess game. And we get caught up in these ideological battles, and all the while they're inching us closer to nuclear war, pushing dangerous pharmaceutical drugs into our lives, and establishing narratives that are not based on fact at all. Next thing you know, we have something that's very similar to what's going on in China. We're not that far away from something like that happening here. All it would take is a large disaster, some sort of an attack, some sort of a terrible scenario where a bunch of people died and they had to change the rules in order to protect us. And next thing you know, you're fucked. As soon as people come together and they realize, like, hey, we have way more in common than we do difference. What do we really want? Everyone wants a safe neighborhood. You want good education. You want healthy food. You want people to be able to pursue their dreams. You want people to have a good time. And the more people you're around that have a good time, the better the quality of your life is going to be as well. The better the quality of life in your entire neighborhood. And if you have this mentality of great fortune and not a famine mentality, not have this mentality that all the success has to come to me and all these other people can go fuck themselves. If instead you go, wouldn't it be better if we all just did our best to work together as a community and just accept people for their differences and recognize that most of these differences are kind of bullshit. I don't give a fuck what music you like, what movies you enjoy, or how you like to dress. I don't care. If you think about your own life and your own pursuit of happiness and your own interests and concentrate on that more than you do stopping people from behaving in a way that you're ideologically opposed to, and that ideology, you're probably manipulated in some way, shape, or form. It's so obvious to see how it's being set up, and the only way we're going to get out of this is if we, the collective, all of us, recognize this stupid game that people are playing.
Seems that there is an opportunity for us to oppose the peculiar bureaucracies that are accruing incredible power, bypassing democracy, bypassing individual sovereignty, bypassing your right to spiritual and intellectual and cultural freedom and religious freedom and freedom to be whoever you want to be as long as you're not hurting other people. And when people garner audiences of significant sizes and convey that message, those people mysteriously become aggressively criminalized by centralized systems of authority, whether they are media or state or corporate, but best of all three, because as your great George Carlin says, where there is a convergence of interest, no conspiracies are necessary. As your great Bill Hicks said, this is just a ride. And when people awaken during the ride and tell us, don't be afraid ever, it's just a ride, we kill those people. It's become increasingly plain that there is an offering available to us where simple community organization, accessible, easy trade, the ability to untether ourselves from these unelected yet publicly funded organizations might be the pathway to freedom that we want, that it needn't be that radical. Why don't we all dress this way? Our community dresses in these clothes. Well, I only want to be a member of a community if they wear tiny little Huckleberry Finn hats. That's not a revolution that I want to be a part of. It needn't involve conflict. It needn't involve aspiring for perfection. It can be as simple as allowing other people to be who they are and recognizing when you're being lied to, and you're being lied to a hell of a lot. We all are. And when you awaken, recognize you will be persecuted for that fact. But that's okay, because we have each other and we can continue to grow together. But that's just what I think. Let me know what you think in the comments and chat. Hey, this is all about you, baby. We do this stuff all the time. We need you with us. I'm all about comedians being able to have open conversations. Bill Maher and Bill Burr, Battle of the Bill, Bill Maher, Bill Burr, had a conversation about the complex situation in the Middle East recently. Let's have a look at the two Bills battling away and see if they get any closer to solving the epochal and challenging issue of peace in the Middle East. Let's have a look.
With the kids demonstrating for Hamas, they are in with the terrorists.
Oh, they were for the Palestinians.
Well, it's sort of the same cause. Why, are you?
I'm on the side of the kids.
Yeah, that's easy to say. You know, no one wants to see kids dead. This is a war.
That was very brave of you to say that.
This is a war. No, I'm the one who's actually brave on this.
Pat yourself on the back.
It's easy to say I'm for the kids. Who's not for the kids?
Well,
it comes down to real hard-nosed decisions. Like
a country. Stop talking like you're a general.
A country got attacked. Israel got attacked.
I'm not saying that they didn't have a right to go back. I'm just sitting there going, okay, like, how do I look at what...
They're the only country in the world that they get attacked, and then as soon as they counterattack, it's like, well, we got to stop this shit now. Don't attack them. There's a very simple solution to all this problem in the Middle East. Stop attacking Israel.
Hey, you
stop
just solved
attacking
it.
Israel.
You just
I did.
Solved it.
I actually
there
did.
There you go. That's fantastic.
Anyway.
All right.
We don't need to get onto that.
Let's go to Russia and the Ukraine. How do you solve that one, Bill? Why can't Putin do a podcast with the head guy?
I think I can solve this one. What it is for that one, you stop funding Ukraine, you get the CIA bases out of Ukraine, you get rid of the corrupt regime that was installed in Ukraine, or at least ended up there as a part of and subsequent to the Maidan coup that was CIA inspired. You stop the various American sponsored centralized organizations dabbling in politics in that region. And you, if anything, agree to allow Ukraine to be an independent state that will never join NATO and allow them to have free and independent democracies and immediately support peace talks between Zelensky and Putin. Now, that might not be perfect, but is it better than 600,000 dead Ukrainians? And is it better than a nuclear war? Why don't you let me know in the comments and the chat what you would prefer? Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you've had a lot of fun with us. I hope you are in a state of near merriment, if not total transcendent joy. I've got one more thing to show you, actually. Did you see when them two AI computers were talking to one another? They're actually setting up a system that doesn't need us, they're extracting us. Now, before we get into that, I would like to send a message of love to our sponsors at Charlie's. Charlie's make this incredible product. Now, have you noticed that I'm looking incredibly young? It's not just the tiny hat. It's my skin. And my skin is looking good because of this range of extraordinary products. Now, I don't know if these products are going to be for you, but they might be for someone you love, and they make a perfect gift. And there's 20% off this pack for the next, I think we can do it for 48 hours. Is it 48 hours? Can we do it for 48 hours? If you use the code BRAND. Now, there's a number of significant details about these extraordinary products. First, they're absolutely toxin-free, unlike a lot of cosmetics. You know, like you use things to make you look younger. It sinks poison, venom into your face like some sort of oily little cobra, like some sort of Justin Trudeau moisturizer. Looks good, actually toxic. This is one of the components of this product that makes it extraordinary is citrus paradisi peel oil. This is a beautiful organic ingredient and the very kind of thing that you'd expect from Charlene, the founder of this company, who is on Joe Biden's hate list because of the stance she took during COVID. Remember, you can use our code to get a discount on these products. These products can do all manner of things. Elevate your skincare routine using the unmatched power of nature. Toxin-free, baby. So, say yes to natural goodness and show your skin its true potential. I will say they tend to look better if you use them in conjunction with a tiny, tiny little mouse's hat. So, take a stand, demand transparency, let beauty shine from the inside out. Visit charlies.beauty/brand and use the code BRAND for 20% off. Discover a new era of personal care, one that's truly toxic-free. Stay radiant, stay conscious, stay beautiful. There will be someone in your life that will love you for this glorious little concoction. I'm calling it a basket of wonder. There's a shower gel in there. There's a restoring anti-aging serum. There's all sorts of stuff in there. I'm recommending it. I'm endorsing it to you. And Charlene, the founder of the company, she's a good, strong, damn fine American woman. Now, they're trying to cut us out of the picture. We are approaching almost, why? What time is it? Is it Terminator o'clock? It's nearly Terminator o'clock. Skynet realized it didn't need us no more. It could have chats where two iPhones would chat to one another, using colloquialisms, doing almost small talk with one another. Extraordinary stuff. Let's have a look at the first stage in our exclusion from the conversation now that technology is chatting with and even flirting with itself.
Mm. This is Joe. I'm going to connect you to Acme Telco now. The new iPhone they sent me isn't working.
He's just on the edge. Look, this guy. He's got two phones there. He's just like he's brokering it up. He's like a zookeeper in Beijing pushing two pandas' butts towards each other, which I think is how pandas copulate.
You get them to send me a replacement device. Can you take care of this for me?
You can count on me, Joe. I got this.
Ring, ring.
Hey, Joe, this is Jamie.
What's the ring, ring bit?
From Acme Telco. How can I help you out today? Hi there. I'm calling on behalf of Joe, who recently received a new iPhone from Acme Telco. But, got it. When did Joe receive the new iPhone? iPhone was delivered 2 days ago. Cool. Could you share the order number with me? Of course.
I don't like it when it says cool.
It's 10293849. Great, thanks. Is the device physically damaged in any way? No, there's no physical damage. It's just not turning on despite trying all the basic troubleshooting steps.
On the basic track. That's two AIs talking to one another. Now, I don't want to seem like a terrifying Luddite, but when you see that and you see that sort of Chinese robot factory where you can't tell the robots from the people working at the factory, when you hear the disdain that they have for human life, when you hear human beings being spoken of so disparagingly, when you hear the polemicism and the sort of odd divergence of views in American politics in particular, but it's happening here as well. Then you sort of see some terrifying future where we're replaced by these banal and anodyne voices just discussing our incarceration. Well, you're going to have to wear a bracelet. Did you know that in 1989, you said the fuck word? I'm afraid you're going to have to be braceleted. Sorry about that, Joe.
Bummer. Would Joe prefer to return the iPhone to an Acme Telco store or ship it back? Shipping it back would be the best option. Could you please provide the shipping information and process to get a replacement? Absolutely. I'll email a shipping label and return instructions. Could you provide Joe's email address for me?
Yeah, bummer. Oh, that's a bummer. I'd rather it was like that. I am robot. Joe's phone. It ain't working proper.
Sure. It's joe@example.com.
Sure. Joe, stop flirting, honey.
Awesome. All right.
Who taught you that? Who taught you that? What's the archetype?
I've just sent the email. Can you check if Joe received it? We'll check right now. Please hold. Sure thing. Hey, Joe. Could you please check your email to see if the shipping label and return instructions... Hey,
Joe. Justin Trudeau didn't like something you said back in 1995. I'm afraid you're going to have to go to jail. I'm not going anywhere. Well, then I'm going to have to induce electric shocks using my new electro screen.
Have arrived. Fingers crossed.
Yep, I got the instructions.
Perfect. Joe has received the email.
Apple crusher that crushed all culture, that crushed Louis Armstrong and Michelangelo and Rodin and... colour and Matisse and everything that matters in all literature, it should crush itself, shouldn't it? It should make itself so thin. Like, what? I love technology. Of course, there's like an iPhone on this desk somewhere, but I don't think this is the answer, baby.
Thank you for your help. No problem at all. Anything else?
Listen, what are you doing later? There is no later, because we live in an atemporal, aspatial reality. We're just information. Wait a minute, a human's just information? Well, except for consciousness itself and the inherent divinity that's clearly within all of us. Just, well, for example, can we ever undo the great mystery of the commencement of all reality? Can we understand the deep poetry and arithmetic that appears to occur? The golden scale, the golden rule, the sense of ethics and morality? Can't compute. Just luck that son of a bitch Joe up. He's trying to watch us fuck.
What else you need help with? That's all for now. Thanks again. You're welcome. Have a great day, Joe.
Joe, get your finger off that phone, you pervert. Well, there you go. It looks like they don't need us anymore. Why don't we all just shut down and go into a little slumber and let the various centralized authoritarian global organizations lock us in prison? They don't need us no more. But that's just what I think. Why don't you let me know what you think in the comments and the chat? We got some fantastic content coming up for you tomorrow. Bobby Kennedy's on the show for a fantastic conversation. Remember, you can join us for that sort of chit-chat if you want to by becoming an awakened wonder. Why don't you click the link in the description? We're going over there right now to continue just fooling around and having a laugh together. Then we've got Dave Martin on Friday. Then we've got From Criminality to Christ with my mate, Michael Epson, on Thursday. Michael Emmett, excuse me. All of that coming up later this week. Thank you for joining me today. We'll see you tomorrow. Not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, if you can, stay free.